sir. Before we get started, what is your name, sir?
Robbie Colvin.
Okay, just hold on one moment. The Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse is going to conduct your hearing, so just hold on, sir, while she gets the paperwork together, sir.
Yes, sir.
Almost there. Okay, Mr. Manning.
Yes.
Good morning. Could you please restate your full name and your ABC number for the record?
Robbie Cole Manning, Sr., 249-861.
Thank you, sir. We're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the five allegations that are on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing on November 30th when you signed a form. Do you remember signing that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. On that form is a list of your hearing rights. And one of your rights is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you, or you can represent yourself. So which is it today? Did you hire an attorney, or will you represent yourself?
I believe I was representing myself, ma'am.
Okay, sir. That's fine. Thank you. I'd like to introduce you to the board. If you look on the video screen to your right, all the way at the end is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him, the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. White. Over on my other side here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing. We also have in the room with us the Honorable Mr. Turner, and you'll be able to see him now on the camera. He is with the Department of Corrections, and he'll represent the department and your parole officer in this hearing today. Okay, sir, so I need to swear the both of you in. So Mr. Manning and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Manning?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. And Mr. Turner?
I do, and I need to make an amendment.
An amendment to the warrant,
okay? On page one at the bottom under exhibits,
yes.
Next to laboratory report, you'll see there's a 10-23-2018.
Yes.
There's also a lab report included in the packet of 10-22-18.
All right, got it. Okay, Mr. Manning, we just added a date at the bottom of your warrant under laboratory report. There are two laboratory reports attached, and they forgot to include one of them here on the front. So I just want to make you aware of that. Okay, so your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision. And then in phase two, we determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, what I'll do is I'll read each of these five allegations to you, and I'll need you to respond whether they're true or false. Okay, sir? All right, so we'll start phase one. And the first allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about October 22nd, 2018, per the task lab report dated October 23rd, 2018. Mr. Manning, is that true or false?
That's true, ma'am.
That's true, okay. The second allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about October 19th, 2018, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated October 22nd, 2018. Mr. Manning, is that true or false?
Yes, ma'am. That's true.
That's true, okay. Allegation number 3, then, is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your use of marijuana on or about October 22nd, 2018, per the task lab report dated October 23rd, 2018. Mr. Manning, is that true or false?
That's true.
That's true, okay. And allegation number 4 is violation of condition 13B, as demonstrated by your failure to remain at your approved residence each night unless prior approval is given by the supervising officer on or about October 18th, 2018. Mr. Manning, is that true or false?
That's true. I'm not understanding that one quite you know.
It's just, I guess you have to stay at your home each night. You have to stay between, after your curfew hours, I think.
Okay, that's true.
It's probably what that one's about. And then the last one is, the fifth allegation is you were, again, 13B, condition. And it said that you failed to remain again at your approved residence and without prior approval from your parole officer on or about October 22nd, 2018. Now, is that one true too, sir, or false?
It's true. I just have a little misunderstanding.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Then based on Mr. Manning's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of community supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded Mr. Mayor. Agreed. Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Quinones. And Mr. Manning, just give me a moment. I've got to mark some paperwork and I want to mark it correctly.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, I think we got it. Okay, so now we'll move to phase two of your hearing, sir, and determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. But before we get too far, I'm going to ask Mr. Turner to give us all some background information. So just stay on the phone. We'll be back in just a minute to ask you some questions, sir.
Yes,
Mr. Turner.
Yes, ma'am. Manning was released from ADC custody on 10-18-2018. And arrested on 10-23-2018 by MCSO on an old warrant. He's returned back to ADC custody on 10-31-2018 with a CSED of 418-2020, zero abscondes. Current convictions, 2008, kidnapping, 11 years. 2007, commitment B, count one, discharging a firearm at a structure, 10 years and 6 months. 2007, commitment B, count three, assisting a criminal syndicate, lead gang, 3 years, 6 months. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3-4. Mental health score of 3, substance use score of 1. STG information, self-admitted to being a member of the Lindo Park Crips Phoenix criminal street gang. No prior terms on supervision. Disciplinary is moderate with violence noted. Other arrest, 2000, burglary second degree, Arizona juvenile probation. 2003, theft means of transportation, Arizona juvenile probation. 2004, assault with a deadly weapon, Arizona juvenile detention. 2005, burglary tool possession, Arizona juvenile probation. 2005, theft means of transportation, Arizona juvenile probation. 2008, armed robbery, Arizona felony conviction probation. He has a GV score of G3, V4. He is a level 3 sex offender, registrable, notifiable. He is not SBP reviewable. His victim was an 11-year-old male, and dangerous crimes against children was cited in the court box.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Okay, back to you, Mr. Manning. You have a written summary of what transpired while you were on supervision, and it looks like you were approved to live at 1765 East Fremont Street. But you didn't, it says you never went to that address while approved.
I never got approved from that address. Friday when I went up to see my parole officer, Mark Adams, we spoke about it. He said he has to call my Amy. I'm believing that's the address. And once he called her, she no longer said that I was able to stay there.
Oh, okay. Okay. So originally you were going to go there, but you didn't. You couldn't because something, whatever happened, something changed.
Absolutely.
Okay. So where did you go now?
I went to my girlfriend's house.
Okay.
And on Alta Vista. He told me that Friday. He told me I need to check into Church on the Streets, I believe it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I went there at 9 o'clock that Sunday. He said I'll come back Monday. Excuse me. I went into the parole office Monday. I spoke with my PO supervisor, and my PO supervisor. They asked me what was my whereabouts around the weekend. I was on an ankle bracelet. So I told them exactly where I was at. I was at my girlfriend's house. They had that. They said, okay. They said, have you been drinking or have you smoked a little bit? I said, I was a little bit dirty because I was smoking marijuana and spice in the penitentiary. Also, I drank a little bit the same day I was out. Well, he said, okay, you're going to drop a UA today, which was that Monday. I dropped a UA. that Monday, he said, what are you going to do for me after you drop that UA? You're going to come up here tomorrow, so he gets you enrolled in some classes. My wife was there also, for anger management. I'm not sure what the other class was. So I woke up that morning, I called my PO, Mark Adams. I said, I'm going down to the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office because they was, I had to register. So he said, okay, take care of that and come into the office. I went to the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. They appointed me to where I need to go. I seen the judge there. They made me go around the corner, sign some papers, and fingerprinted me. Once they said I'd take a minute, I stepped outside and I called my PO, Mark Adams, and I said, I'm at the place right now. He said, go ahead and take care of that, and then go take care of what you have, a misdemeanor warrant in Glendale. I said, okay, fine. Once I go back in, I get fingerprinted. Once they fingerprint me, I had a warrant, so they arrested me. Once they arrested me, they immediately took me downstairs and shipped me off to Glendale Court. I went to Glendale Court. I seen the judge there. I can't forget her name, but I have the paper here. She gave me time. So she asked me, why haven't you taken care of this in a long time? I said, I just got out of DOC. She gave me time served and told me congratulations going with your life. So I'm going back to Fourth Avenue to get released. And in the midst of that, they had a DOC parole rule do not release, I'm guessing, because of what you just told me. And I never seen the streets again.
Okay, so well, this indicates that you you admitted going over to Barbecue Steakhouse and drank some beers, and that you also smoked some marijuana with friends before you went to the bar.
Well, no, I stayed to him. I smoked while I was there at the bar.
Okay. Know?
He asked me if I smoked a drink. I said yes. I smoked there and I drank a little bit. He said okay. Don't worry about that. What you're going to do is drop a UA for me today. If that's what you're only dirty for, he said, no hard drugs. I said, I don't do no hard drugs. He said, okay, we'll work with that. You know, you just got out. And I said, okay.
Okay, said, so then let me ask you this, too. It says after the night of the 18th, you're only out from the 18th to the 23rd, but it's saying after the 18th, that you traveled all over the Phoenix area going to multiple unknown residences throughout each night. So what was that about?
When I went up there, he had a little computer and he showed me, you know, where was you at? And I told him, I've been going for almost a decade. The places that I went, you can also look on my visitation. It's my auntie, my brothers, my sister. I'm traveling around. I told him I'm on an ankle bracelet. I can't hide nothing from you. You know, he told me, he's like, I know, so why are you moving around like that? I said, I'm going to see family members. I've been going my whole life. You know what I'm saying? I don't know half of this stuff that's going on, so I'm getting it right from my brother. My brother tells me, come on here, my auntie, my grandma out here from out of state. You know, so that's why I was moving around.
Okay.
I said, okay.
All right. And do you remember when you signed your conditions of community supervision? You signed those, and there are lots of things in those that when you signed, you agreed to abide by those conditions. And
yes, ma'am.
Some of them are that you won't drink alcohol, you won't smoke marijuana, and especially because of your sex offense and your ankle bracelet, you need to stay where your parole officer tells you to stay, and you can't go to other places without his express prior approval. And you weren't getting those. So why did you think that was okay?
I didn't think it was okay. Prior to when I was standing at those places, he was ringing my ankle bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
That means you have to call them. I called them and knew exactly where I was at. I had nowhere else to go. That place where the address you gave me,
mm-hmm.
She said I couldn't stay there because of the registration.
Right.
Right. She said I couldn't stay there. That was new to me too. I did all my time in DOC on the GPR, everything. So they wouldn't release me to the streets unless I signed that. So I had a little issue saying, when I was in court, the judge, Timothy Ryan, when they asked for that, he said, you won't hear it, it's not a sex crime. So I do my whole time on the yard, then, you know, I get out, and they say the only way I can get released is if I sign the papers. So in the midst of signing those papers, I was a little confused. I was out there on the streets a little confused. A lot of people didn't want me to stay. They want me to stay there now because of that issue.
Right.
You know, so.
Okay, well, you are a level 3 registrable notifiable sex offender, so with a crime against an 11-year-old male. So that's going to follow you for your life. So you need to be aware of that, sir. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions. Any questions for Mr. Turner? Do you have more information to share?
Yes, ma'am. When he was released and went through his intake, that was on 10-18. He reported to the office on 10-22, which is about 7 days later, is when they found out that he was no longer allowed to be there. And then during the staffing, he says, after staffing this offender spoke with the offender regarding resident options, offenders and is no longer willing to allow the offender, this is on the 27th, to reside there, to accept sex offenders, because where she's at. So her residence, so the offender was provided a list of hotels, shelters, and halfway houses that accept sex offenders. The offender reports he has financial assistance from multiple family members. The offender was directed to secure residence from the approved list prior to 5:30 p.m. The offender was unable to secure residence at a hotel or halfway house. He was directed to report to Church on the Streets Men's Mission by 5:30 p.m. to secure residency. So it was 7 days that he was out. There's nothing indicating he contacted his appeal within those 7 days to state that I was not allowed to live at my aunt's.
Okay. He indicated that he called, but there's nothing documented.
There's nothing documented.
Okay. All right. Mr. Banning?
Yes, ma'am.
What did you want to say?
Oh, I went, to the parole office that Monday to speak to the supervisor and his supervisor. We were all in the office together on Monday, and we made a call to Christine Dunbar, that's my auntie, with the address. We made a call in the office, and she stated to them that I can no longer stay there. That's when he gave me the list of everything to go to them places. I only been out over the weekend. I have, because he told me they would cost money to stay there. I had no money to stay there. I don't know what's going on at this point. This is new to me, you know. So he said, don't worry about it. We'll work it in. He told me to come there Tuesday to take care of all of this, you know. After I told him that I smoke weed, after I told him I smoke marijuana, I admitted to everything. I dropped the UA. He said, make sure that's what you're only dirty for. I said, okay. Woke up Tuesday morning. I called him. I talked to the supervisor and I talked to Mark Adams. They said, take care of your business. I took care of my business. I went to go see the judge, the courts. I got arrested and I wasn't able to get to my appeal to get enrolled in the classes like I was supposed to. I was supposed to get in anger management, another class he told me. I just wasn't able to do that.
Right. Okay. What were you doing when the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office arrested you? How did you come to that?
I was in jail.
Oh, you were in jail. Okay.
Yeah, I was in jail. I was handling my business, traffic ticket, and the registration.
Okay.
They fingerprinted me. Once they fingerprinted me, they came from downstairs and said, you got a warrant, and, you know, that's how I got locked up again.
Okay, Mr. Mann. We're coming up to the end of your hearing, and I want to give you the opportunity if you want to tell us anything else that we should consider. But we just ask that you not repeat something you've already told us. Is there anything else the board should consider?
I messed up. I know I messed up, but I would ask for you to give me another chance. You know, another shot. I've been going a long time. I have family waiting on me. I have a child on the way. I just want a chance, you know what I'm saying, to do right after being gone for so long, you know. And I fully admit I did wrong. I smoked and I drunk. That was wrong. And, you know, I didn't report over the weekend to the house I was supposed to, mainly because she told me I couldn't go there. But I just want a chance to show you that I can do right.
Okay, Mr. Manning, thank you for that. The board is going to go into discussion. We do our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So we will have a discussion now, and we'll be right back with you. We just ask that you stay on the phone and just remain silent, and we'll be right back.
Yes.
The board is now in discussion. Mr. Manning, gosh, he seems like a smart enough guy, but he just didn't understand that when he signed the conditions, that meant no alcohol, no marijuana, and that you will stay where you're supposed to stay and not leave without advance approval of your parole officer. So those are very basics of community supervision. So I'm not seeing him as a good candidate to return to community supervision, but I would listen to any input of fellow board members. Any input? Okay, I'm going to make a motion then based on information of warrant 2018W3078, our conversation with Mr. Manning, information provided by Mr. Turner. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Manning was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal vice or company, specifically by drinking alcohol and marijuana while on, using marijuana while on supervision, and also by failing to follow the direction of his parole officer and staying in his home zone while he was on the ankle monitor. And that is my motion.
Agreed.
Okay. Second, I'll say Mr. Johnson agreed, Dr. Ray, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Manning, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. So when you're on community supervision, you need to follow the conditions that you signed. And you broke at least three of them that we're aware of. So, sir, we're showing you a release date of April 18th of 2020, sir, and at that point, you will not have any parole supervision. You'll be released to your own devices. We hope that in the meantime, you'll take any opportunity for programming that's offered in the prison. I know there is some, and we hope that you take advantage of that, and wish you certainly a safe transition back to the community, sir. Thank you. This will end your hearing, and if you'd give the phone back to the CO3, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.